you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, today's show is brought to you by Stamps.com. Stamps.com brings all of the mailing and shipping services of the post office right to your computer in the comfort of your home or office. Whether you're a small business sending invoices, an online seller shipping out products, or just working from home and you need to mail stuff, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, just leave it for your mail carrier, schedule a pickup, or drop it in a mailbox. It's that simple. And with Stamps.com, you can get great discounts as well. 5 cents off every stamp and up to 62% off USPS and UPS shipping rates. Stamps.com is a no-brainer. It saves you time. It saves you money. And right now, our listeners can get a special offer. It includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale, all without any long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in problem. That's stamps.com. The promo code is problem, and you get that 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale with no long-term commitments. All right, let's start the show.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am Dave Smith, and I am very happy to be joined by my brother, another member of the Gas Digital family, one-third of High Society Radio, and the host of the brand new podcast, Notes of a Goon.
Yep.
Which is out there now. What is it, 8 episodes that have been put out? Go check them out. My brother, Chris Vega, how you doing?
Good. Dave, thank you for having me. I really appreciate being on here. I see you have a better array of books behind you because you're more of a political guy. Mm-hmm. I just have this stack right here. It involves this X-Men figure. But you're more of a newscaster, and I just did this to make fun of newscasters.
Well, all right. That's not
you're
bad.
You're more of a news guy. You're more of a hard news guy. And I kind of just was like, well, I need some books. So I put The 5-Hour Work Week and Pimp by Iceberg Slim behind me so people think I'm smart.
It kind of has like a Jenga vibe to it. Like it looks like you're supposed to try to get one of the books out without knocking it all over, which is seems fun and challenging at the same time. So anyway, it's been a little while since we've had you on the podcast, but you're always one of my favorite people to have on the show because we have great conversations about all this shit. And there's one piece of big news to get into right away, which is I would say, so I've been predicting for a while that there's going to be some type of October surprise. Just feels that way. 2020, not like I have any inside news or anything, but just 2020 feels like the year where there's a big October surprise. And I now I'm thinking there's going to be several. And I think this is the first. But the big news is Donald Trump is COVID positive. He got it. It looks like he got it from Hope Hicks, who was was one of his advisors, tested positive. But that's not completely clear yet. But he has it, and Melania has it, and they have symptoms. Now, they're saying now that they're mild symptoms, but they have it, and they're not asymptomatic, is at least what the latest news is. So Twitter's going fucking nuts over this. It's pretty fucking entertaining. What have you, what's your reaction to Trump having COVID?
The funniest possible thing. And Brian says it before, he goes, so when he beats this and is fine, this absolutely helps him.
Well, yeah. So that's certainly possible. Although right now, you know, there's a lot of things that are up in the air. So the next debate is, I believe, 13 days away. So that's not going to happen. The second debate with Biden is probably
right.
Huh?
It could, if he tests positive.
I mean,
it's exactly 2 weeks, right? Because he tested positive yesterday.
Yeah, I think it would be like exactly 2 weeks. And it just seems like, I mean, yeah, maybe if they get a negative test in there before then. But at least I would say it's cast into doubt whether that debate's going to happen. I think any debate missed hurts Trump. So I think that Trump wants him versus Biden on stage as many times as possible. Mm-hmm. And so that is, and the other thing is that if he does get sick, it opens the door for a lot of, you know, like I've always thought that a big part of Trump's appeal is just this really primitive alpha shit. Like he's the fucking, 100%. He's the guy. He just alphaed Jeb Bush. And even I think what he did to Biden the other day was purely alpha, you know, shit. And so being sick doesn't help that completely. However, the odds are, right, as you indicated, the odds are, I think something like what, I don't even at Donald Trump's age group, like 97% or something like that, that he's going to be fine.
I mean, and Boris Johnson beat it, and he seems, any British person is in worse health than any American person, even the really fat versus the really skinny. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just the lack of vitamin D from living in England has to be pretty bad for them.
Yeah, whatever, that awful food, nothing. There's nothing good in your health, like over there. Even McDonald's is better for you than just average home cooked British food.
Yeah,
and he was sick. Boris Johnson was like really sick.
He was hospitalized. This was like early on. Yeah, there was no tests, right? So he didn't get tested until he was like fucked up. Whereas Trump got tested like right after he started. But here's the thing: is like he must have had it during the debate.
Well, right? I guess The thing is that they were all tested before the debates. Mm-hmm. So he passed a test. Now, I don't know, you know what? Now, he was on Hannity's show either the day after or 2 days after the debate. And he seemed a little off to me. To borrow his term, he seemed a little low energy. And they had said at that point that they had found out that Hope Hicks was positive, but they hadn't found out that he was positive yet. Mm-hmm. But it seemed to me like, it seemed like he kind of had a bug. Like he didn't seem quite his normal self, seemed very subdued. But who knows? That's just me speculating. But I don't know. I don't know if he had it at the debate or he got it afterward. It's possible he had it after the test, but during the debate. Either way, this is, you know, there's been since March, basically, you could not that anyone ever said this, although some people I'm sure on Twitter say it, but you always kind of got the feeling that they were really hoping Trump was going to get this. Like the whole media
100%.
Class. They were like, just hoping
people who just being like the amount, you know, how many times I saw tweeted, you love to see it in the last 24 hours, in the last 12 hours, whatever it was. Cause it was like, right before I went to bed, which was late 3 a.m. when they like announced that he was positive, right? Like, so like 9 o'clock at night, it was like Trump might have COVID. And then by like 2 a.m, they were like, nope, Trump has COVID, which so fucking fun. It's just the idea that I can't believe Redbubble didn't crash with just people trying to get up MAGA masks. That, you know what I mean? Like,
well, it's, you know, like I've seen, it's really amazing. Like, and look, Twitter is a cesspool. That's just like all social media is, but Twitter is like the worst one, I think. Mm-hmm. And, but so many of people, I mean, I've seen like the same person, at least 20 of them, who way back yesterday were saying, you know, in a different world, which was 24 hours ago, they were saying how outrageous it was that Donald Trump wouldn't condemn hate. And then today they're rooting for the guy to die from COVID. And it's just, it's pretty funny. Like, you know, and look, you could say, well, you hate Donald Trump or he's responsible for this. And other people say they hate the Proud Boys or Antifa or whatever it is. But it's just pretty funny to be like the ones up on your like pedestal about like the, you know, how against, you know, the, you know, Donald Trump is such a divider and he's poisoned the conversation. And then you're like rooting for the guy to die. I'm not saying that's everybody, but it's a bunch of people.
Yeah, and he got the most votes of any president, right? Like that was a... That was a record-setting election, right?
No, Obama had more than him. Obama 2008 is still the record.
Okay,
but Hillary had more than him in 2016.
Well, I said president.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, in her mind, she's the president. She's sitting in like a makeshift Oval Office somewhere, like fucking bossing people around who are who are just rolling their eyes at her. But so anyway, another like narrative that has been going around out there is that somehow this is like fitting, or this is, you know, like some type of poetic justice because I've seen a lot of this on social media. Well, this'll teach him to take the virus seriously type thing. And I'll admit I have my bias. Like I think the economy should be open. I think lockdowns, you know, in hindsight, were completely unnecessary. And it's not, I think there's really no evidence for lockdowns and a lot of evidence to suggest that basically they did nothing. That COVID is going to do what it's going to do.
It's a force of nature. We aren't at gunpoint moving people off the coasts. You know what I mean? Of this country of like, if we really cared about forces of nature killing people, we would make everybody leave Indonesia.
Sure.
It's just
right.
The force of nature. It's not going to like, so you can take precautions just like you can leave a flood zone during a hurricane, which they do every fucking year in North Carolina and all those states. Like you can take precautions, but yeah, the lockdown has been as a small business owner, fucking insane.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's destroyed millions of businesses around the country. It's also just like fucked up so many people's lives in like profound ways that you can't depression. Even measure. And then the truth is that if you look at countries, you know, if you compare Spain with Sweden or like Italy and Sweden or something like that, you go, it's not even really clear that they did anything to mitigate the actual virus, because what happens is you have to open at some point and then the virus starts going around. And even while you're closed, unless you're fucking China and you're going to just lock people in their houses and let them starve to death, then a country that has guns is it's not going to happen. It's like people are going to the supermarket. They're going around, you know, it doesn't seem to work. So it's stupid. But the idea that Donald Trump, you know, I understand they have that tape with him, with Woodward saying he didn't want to create a panic or whatever, and that he downplayed it. But the idea that Donald Trump didn't take the virus seriously is just, to me, so removed from reality. Like, what do you really look at? Now, obviously, you don't have to convince me that government is not efficient. But if you look at this country since March, could you really argue that we haven't taken this virus seriously? We've changed the entire course of American history. We've reacted in a way that we've never reacted to anything else. Donald Trump declared a national emergency and invoked the National Defense Production Act, by the way, I think all of which was stupid, but it seems very strange that the argument is like, well, maybe this will teach him that it's a real thing, as if he didn't already know that.
The whole thing is very strange with like, everything has become very instantly revisionist. Whereas like in the beginning, he was like, let's lock this shit down and figure this shit out. He was even talking about like locking down states, which I think was a better idea. Then the reason why nobody in Texas or Arizona is taking this shit seriously is because they didn't know a person with COVID until 2 months ago. Whereas we all know, you know, Jeffrey Gurian almost died, for example, somebody we both know, right? Like Justin Silver had COVID. Like it's like, we know.
It did some good.
Yeah. Justin lost mass and now he can't do as many pull-ups. It's done some good. But no, like you get what I mean. It's just like Nancy Pelosi, like Bill de Blasio was telling people to go to Chinese New Year celebrations when Trump was like, hey, let's not probably stop gathering in groups. And he made a good point at the debate with the, I think the mask thing, the blame for people not wanting to wear masks falls squarely on Fauci. Squarely, because he literally said, don't wear masks. They will make you sick. And then admitted that he lied about that. So it was like, well, now there's 100 million people that will not believe anything you say because you just admitted you lied at a point of time when people were dying.
Yeah. And he even said that he lied, like I got this wrong. And now I do think masks are the way to go. He said, no, I was lying so that we could protect, you know, the fucking, you know, hospital workers, as if everybody who's wearing masks are wearing N95s or something like that. It was a very weird thing. But also the CDC, the World Health Organization, they were all not recommending masks until very late into this. Yeah. I think it was in May when they actually started. And then, of course, they started mandating it. Oh, not only do you have to wear masks, but you're evil. I also think that
People don't remember that. You get what I'm saying? It's very 1984-ish. This whole thing is like all of a sudden it was like, no, we were always saying that you should wear masks. No, you weren't, fuckers. Like my brain is not broken. Like,
No, you're right. It's very 1984-ish. There's something truly Orwellian about the, like, you know, we've always been at war.
Yeah, we've always been at war with Eurasia. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And also just the kind of the whole, you know, flatten the curve thing and how that just went away. Like that was never, that's not even invoked anymore. And it's not like, it's very, very strange. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Sheath Underwear. Sheath makes the softest, most comfortable boxer briefs I've ever worn in my life. If you're sick of boxers that are too loose or briefs that are too tight, Sheath is for you. And here's what makes Sheath unique. The stretchy fabric is made out of a moisture wicking technology. It feels silky, keeps everything cool and comfortable and right in place. It's the perfect underwear for working out or being outdoors in the heat. Plus, the most unique thing about Sheath underwear is that they have these dual pouches that keep your man parts separated, which prevents them from sticking together. It sounded a little bit strange to me, but I'm loving it. I'm telling you, I don't wear any other pair of underwear at this point except Sheath, the best underwear I've ever owned. Get one pair and you're going to go back to get a bunch more because it's just better than anything else that's out there. No more chafing, no more sweating, no more being uncomfortable. Get all the comfort and support you need downstairs. Also, I should add, if you don't like the idea of the pouch, you can just wear them like regular underwear and it'll just be the most comfortable pair of boxer briefs you've ever worn in your life. So go to sheathunderwear.com and get the most comfortable pair of underwear you'll ever own. And if you use the promo code PROBLEM20, you'll also get 20% off your order. That's sheathunderwear.com, S-H-E-A-T-H, underwear.com, promo code PROBLEM20 for 20% off. All right, let's get back into the show. Also, you know, like the mask thing became like this hysteria. Like this weird cult of masks wearing, where particularly like in blue states and blue cities and things like that, where it's kind of like this, you know, like if you walk down the streets in New York City, people look at you weird if you don't have a mask on. And even as they press Donald Trump on there, and I thought he was completely reasonable. He was like, look, I have a mask in my pocket, but like, we're at an event where everyone was tested and we're socially distanced. And like, we're none of us are wearing masks. Like him and Chris Wallace and Biden aren't wearing masks. None of them are.
I thought it was funny that Jill Biden came out with a mask on at the end to hug her husband that she lives with.
That was very, very strange. Very, very bizarre. And so there's just so many things like this. And the truth is that if you're like, there was a lot of fear mongering just over the last year that didn't really make sense at all. I mean, I remember when they were going crazy about kids going to the beach. And it's like, there's no concern about the beach. There's literally no evidence that COVID has ever spread at the beach in an area where you're outdoors, it's windy, you're distant from people, you're not like right on top of the, even in fucking like, I've been to like New York, you know, city beaches like that get really crowded, like Coney Island in the summer gets really crowded. You're still not within 6 feet of other people. Like even in the most crowded beach, you're
maybe
socially
distant. Nutcracker guy when he comes by to sell you a nutcracker. That's about it.
Now, if he's got it, everyone's fucked.
because they're not wearing masks. Anybody selling nutcrackers is like COVID is some corny shit, B. Like,
but it's so anyway. It seems like such a weird, position to take that this is somehow Donald Trump. Like now he'll take it seriously. Now the flip side to that is what you were getting into earlier, which is the flip side of that is like, right. But how about if Donald Trump's symptoms go away in 5 days and he's fine and he's as strong as ever and he's like, guess what? I'm a 76-year-old fat guy who eats cheeseburgers and this thing didn't even like knock me on my ass. I'm absolutely fine. Then what's the effect of that? And the other thing is that this will dominate the news now for at least the next week. So the story isn't, the story isn't going to be fucking the first debate anymore. The story is not going to be what the media wanted it to be, which like, holy shit, was that retarded? The Proud Boys
thing. Somebody sent me on Twitter today and it was something that once I saw it, I remembered it from like a few years back, him shitting on David Duke. Like, and I didn't remember that. And like Eric brought it up to me yesterday. He was like, dude, 2 weeks ago, he tried to name the KKK a terrorist organization. What are we talking about here? Like,
oh, it's so ridiculous that here's the thing. Chris Wallace grilled Donald Trump about condemning white supremacists at the debate in 2016. He asked him this same question back in 2016, and Trump was like, absolutely, I disavow them. He said this over and over again. It's really funny because there's so many things. There's so many legitimate things to go after Trump for.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They get obsessed with the ones that are complete bullshit. Like, he won't condemn white supremacy when he's done it dozens of times. It's all on camera. Or he said there's very fine people on both sides. Or it's like, this is on tape. What he actually said is on tape. This is not what he said.
What was the actual, because me and Stanley actually had this on High Society. We were talking about this. So I had heard stand down and stand back. But stand down was Wallace said that, right?
No, so I think Trump said stand down and stand by.
He said stand back and stand by.
Stand back and stand by. Yes, no, you're right. You're right. He said stand back and stand by.
So here's the crazy thing. If you Google either stand back and stand by or stand down and stand by, different news sources reported things differently. Like we both Googled it differently. Very strange shit.
Well, it's also like the truth is, right? I mean, it's just so ridiculous. Like you can't. The Proud Boys are not a white supremacist organization. Now, you can say what you will about the Proud Boys, and I've made fun of them before.
Really a cornball.
I've met some members of the Proud Boys. Obviously, like I know Gavin, well. Yeah. Like I haven't talked to
Dante's
him much.
Cool. I mean,
yeah.
No, that white supremacist Dante Nero.
Yes, right. So Dante, I've been friends with for like 15 years. I knew Gavin very well back in the day when he first came on Kumia's show and when he was doing the show at Stand Up Labs. And I always liked Gavin a lot. He's a hilarious dude. And, we disagree on a bunch of shit, but we agree on a bunch of shit and we'd have fun and we'd go out drinking and stuff. And I haven't I texted with Gavin once during the lockdown, but I haven't seen Gavin much in the last few years. But I'd always, and I know other Proud Boys that have come out to Legion of Skanks and shit like that and who are fun. And like, some of them are like cool and like nothing against them. I just always thought the whole thing was kind of gay and that's like my criticism of them. The whole thing was super lame and the like, punching each other till I remember at one point.
The cereal thing, right? It's just, it seemed like they were just making fun of gang initiations.
Yes.
Right?
Well, it was a joke. It started as a joke. That's what it was. And I remember back when it started as that joke, someone asking me to join. I can't remember if it was Gavin or just like some member who was like, dude, you should fucking join. And I was like, if one of you motherfucker, like I'm in my 30s. If one of you punches me, I'm going to knock you unconscious. Like, I'm not playing a game where you punch me until I can name cereal. Like, what is this?
Are we in an elevator in the projects? What are we?
Yeah, like, what is it? Like, this is literally the type of thing we would do at 17 years old. Like, this is not, no, I'm not interested in this. But it did morph into something that I thought was stupid. And just like when they would start talking about like, let's just say this, right? I understand if Antifa's coming to your fucking rallies being like, okay, let's fucking rumble with these guys. Like, they're not going to shut our shit down, or we're going to protect our people and stuff like that.
Sure.
But they were very sloppy in the way they would just publicly be like, yeah, we stand for fucking fighting and we're going to go fight these guys. And it's like, this is not smart, guys. Like, this is not going to end well.
You're good not way to kids. Become a gang. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And you're going to be like, you're going to be prosecuted, and like, this is going to go bad. And so you can feel however you feel about them, and you can, you know, but they're not white supremacists. They're not.
They're just, they're dorks who just like, they're literally just, it started as like a red pilling thing, right? Like feminizing of society shit.
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of like that. It was like, you know, it was a joke. It was all tongue in cheek, but it was Gavin, you know, like being like, hey, men should be men. Stop jerking off and go out there and like get a chick. You know, whatever, hang out with other guys, like have a men's club, things like that. And then as Gavin kind of like really was like blowing up and Antifa started coming to Gavin's events and trying to shut him down, it turned into kind of like, well, okay, the Proud Boys will be the security force and they'll fucking go and confront the Antifa guys. And it's just a bad situation. You know, it's just, it was destined to go bad the way it did. But there are multiracial group.
Gavin's a millionaire.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just hire licensed security? Stop bringing your dumb mooks around. You're a fucking public figure. Like, you're not a rapper. Stop it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It was a bad idea. It was a very bad idea.
I actually put it up on the new show, though. It's very funny that they harp on the Boogaloo Boys and the Proud Boys. The Atlantic just put out a thing about the Nazism issue in the brony subculture. I talk about that on the show. And I'm just like, how come nobody is talking about Adam Waffen? Do you know who those guys are?
I've heard of them.
They're terrifying. They are like actual Nazi fucking. Many arrests for murders, like, which I don't believe there's a Proud Boy who's been arrested for a murder. I think they tried to poison a water supply. Like, they're villains. Like,
yeah, that's creepy.
And why are we focused on the optics at Black Lives Matter rallies when these guys are actively trying to start a second civil war?
Yeah. Well, look, the whole Boogaloo thing, and I haven't really like I always kind of felt like it was tongue in cheek. I'm sure there are some people who take it more seriously than others. But truthfully speaking, and I've said this, I say this knowing for a fact, I'm sure there are Proud Boys who listen to the show and Boogaloo types who listen to the show as well. So I'm not, you know, doing myself any favors.
On both sides, Dave.
They're fine people on both sides of the Proud Boys and Boogaloos. But I'm just saying, look, man, even if the one's being tongue in cheek, be careful when you're joking around about a fucking civil war. This is like, that is serious shit that you don't actually want to see. None of us want to see this. No. Like, it's really, really ugly if it comes to that. And the other thing is that if you're online, even if you're being tongue in cheek and joking around about this shit, and then you end up getting into a conflict, getting into some type of fight, well, now some fucking prosecutor is going to have your, look what they said online, and look at this, and he's connected to this other group, and they were trying, you know, and now it's like a quasi-terrorist act. And just so you know, like, this shit is real. This is not, anytime you're talking about getting into a fight, getting into a physical altercation, when you're not 16 years old, when you're an adult, this is if you get in trouble for this, it's going to fucking carry serious repercussions. And whether it's fair or not, the system is pretty biased against right wing types, or what are perceived as right wing types. So you're not going to get the same protections that like Antifa gets. Nobody's going to be like, the Proud Boys isn't an organization. It's just an idea. And they'll go, oh, yeah, OK, move on. No, they're basically going to say you're the same thing as actual Nazis. And there's going to be prosecutors who have like a fucking hard on to really get as high a sentence as they can for you. So just be smart before you get into this. However, all of that aside, neither of those groups are white supremacists.
March with Black Lives Matter, and like some of them do, because it's the same as like what Antifa is supposed to be, which is kind of this like loose knit thing of ideas. And the Boogaloo Boys idea is kind of just like, we're going to show up to things with guns, but we're really making fun of you. Like, that's what that whole thing is. Their whole thing is, we're making fun of you for thinking you're participating in a culture war, but whatever, we're down for it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I've said this before, anybody who is actively thinks they're participating in a culture war right now, you are a loser and your friends don't actually like you. They just hang out with you because you went to high school together. You suck. Like you're not fun to be around. And this is on the Antifa side. This is if you're a proud boy who thinks you're fighting for the culture, you're a shithead.
Like, yeah, but you know, there is I don't disagree with you, but it does kind of like, I think there's something about the, you know, what it's like to grow up in America today where, you know, we live in a kind of weird space where kids are, first off, a lot of them grow up without fathers in the home, you know, which like I did. But it's a lot of kids today are growing up in single parent households, particularly for young men. I think when you're raised just by a woman, you're kind of always searching for that kind of like, you know, what's a man supposed to be? And there's not exactly that role model for you. They don't grow up with religion. They don't grow up with like a tight knit community. They're not like, you know, like they're not at church gatherings. There's not like men's clubs and things like that, like there used to be. There's not just so, and then they're fucking, you know, a bunch of them are like doped up on psychotropic drugs and yeah, shit like that. It's just, I think they're almost like on both sides of this, I think they're almost like looking for something, like of some course, camaraderie and some identity. And I think they find it in this weirdly in these fucking groups.
It's not that weird. It's, I mean, that's what gang culture is. I mean, that's what the Bloods and Crips were. I mean, we both knew guys in the Bloods and Crips when we were younger, right? Because it was
very fine people on both sides.
Both sides of that conflict. I'll tell you this right now. No, but it is a weird thing. It's literally what those guys are doing, and it becomes their idea. Like, there are guys who were like, I knew, who were like relatively soft dudes who got jumped into the Bloods. And then all of a sudden they were tough guys.
It's like, yeah,
I'm pretty sure I saw you get smacked around 6 months ago. Like, yeah. So it's like, I get that it's the search for identity, but much like I thought joining a gang was fucking lame when I was 16. If you're like identifying as this, like it's, if in your Twitter bio, you have Proud Boy, it is as corny as having your pronouns. Maybe it's not as insidious, but it is as corny.
Yeah, look, I get what you're saying. Yeah. It's a weird thing, and it's funny that you bring up the example of like gangs, because it is almost like a very similar thing, an environment where there's not lots of fathers around, lots of drug use, kind of struggling for like identity to be a part of something, and also the fact that you feel like you don't have a lot of other options. And I think that as much as that's not necessarily the case with like Antifa types or Proud Boys types, in some ways it is. And I just say that, like, obviously, like the Antifa types are like fucking, they're college kids basically, you know, but even those guys, it's like, there doesn't seem to be, I mean, there's certainly no clear path from, you know, coming out of like college with a gender studies major to what? Owning your own home and starting a family. I mean, like that, most of these guys are like, if they're coming out and going to get a job at Starbucks and they're in crazy debt and they'll probably never own a house in their life. And so it is almost like you find something else. And they're different on both sides. I mean, like on the Antifa side, they blame society and they blame, you know, white supremacy or whatever garbage they were taught in college to blame. And on the Proud Boys or on the right wing side of it, they kind of blame the whole culture that's basically telling them that they're shit, you know, like the lecturing them about their white privilege.
Yeah. Huh? The gender studies majors. They're blaming.
Right, exactly.
Which is fair on both. I think it's almost fair on both sides to do that, but it's also the kind of thing where it's like, dude, you know how many people come out of college with debt? So the guys who are on the Proud Boys side kind of just like have debt, but just like, I'll just move to the middle of the country, be a plumber, and I can buy a house. These gender studies majors are all working as baristas in fucking Starbucks. It's like, there's a shortage of loggers in this country. Move to Maine. I had a buddy who graduated with an architecture degree, decided he didn't want to be an architect, and just, he went to fucking, he's a logger. He makes good money, owns a shit ton of property in Vermont, and is doing fine. And in the winter, he teaches classes at the community college. Like, why can't you? You can find, we're the generation, us and younger, is the generation's least likely to move for work. You know what I mean? And it's just like, those guys are mad about that. And that's what they think, it's society and white supremacy that they can't afford a house. It's like, no, it's because you won't leave Brooklyn.
Ma'am. Like, no, listen, you're definitely right about that. There's a lot of that. And unfortunately, they're gonna have to figure out something over the next few years, because there's not going to be a huge demand of jobs for gender studies majors, environmental studies majors, black studies majors. Like, it just isn't going to happen. Like, it's not, there's no productivity that comes from this supposed knowledge. So they're going to have to figure
Trump's
it out.
Once Trump's out, you're not going to be able to sell your books anymore either.
Yeah. Well, I will say, though, what does bother me is that it's not even a false equivalency, because that would be understating it. But the truth is that there's, if you're going to break down all of these different groups, whether it's the Boogaloos or the fucking the Proud Boys or the alt-right or any of these other groups, which, by the way, are all separate and very distinct groups. Yeah. But none of them are causing a fraction of the chaos, violence, and property damage that Antifa and the Black Lives Matter rioters are. It's just like an objective fact. It's mm-hmm. not as if any time a fucking left winger wants to have an event or give a speech, fucking Proud Boys are showing up and fucking people up. That doesn't happen. They do get into confrontations when, like, there's an Antifa riot or something like that, or when Antifa shows up to their events, but it's not happening the other way around. And yet on the debate stage, you know, in corporate media America, it's like they view the right wingers as such a worse problem. And it's not, so it's not even like a false equivalency. Like, they're making these things equivalent when they're really not. They're actually treating the fucking right wingers as more of a problem than they are the fucking left wingers, even though they're so much more of a problem. I thought it was so, it was astounding to watch that they would even bring up Donald Trump's response to the alt-right in 2017 after what's been going on in 2020. Yeah. It's going on right now, like right now in Portland and Seattle. This is all still fucking happening, more in Portland.
It is weird the way it's like supposed to be okay because it's a protest against racial injustice.
Right.
But rather than bring up, they're not bringing up, first of all, what's more of a racist organization, the United States criminal justice system or fucking the Proud Boys? Right. Like, it's like, so you guys just fucking nominated the two politicians in the entire country who represent the last 30 years of locking up young black men more than probably anyone else. Maybe Reagan.
If you were trying to find two living people who embodied the criminal justice system, this was about as good as you could do. I mean, I'm sure there's some other people you could
argue. A prosecutor from the most liberal state in the union
mm-hmm.
and the guy who helped write the crime bill. Like,
yep, no question.
Like, there's no amount of things that the Legion of Skanks do is anywhere near as racist or the fucking Proud Boys or.
Listen, that's kind of my whole thing, is that I could take, say, like Antifa, like an organization that's saying we're against fascism. I could take them somewhat seriously if they directed their outrage in an appropriate way. And so you can hate Donald Trump and think he's a fascist. I mean, I think there's a strong argument that our whole system is fascist. And so, okay, the president, represents that in some way. Mm-hmm. I think, truthfully speaking, he's been a lot less fascistic in many ways than Obama and Bush were.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly. We are not getting weekly news reports about fucking weddings being bombed in sovereign nations.
Yeah. Like, and look, he has had his fair share of drone strikes and all of this stuff. And he's been, you know, he's continued a lot of the policies, but he hasn't started new wars. He has not expanded executive power at the rate that Bush and Obama did. Now, he presides over that expanded power mm-hmm. that they had, but even that seems to be working against him more than for him. Mm-hmm. But like, okay, so I could take Antifa seriously if they wanted Obama strung up on war crimes. Like, okay, then, like, yeah, you guys are against fascism, but they're more concerned with the Proud Boys or Legion of Skanks or something like that. And you're like, this is goofy. Like,
they're Maoists that claim to be fucking anti-fascists.
Yeah.
That's why they're not talking about eliminating the drug war. Why are they, like, we're talking about police reform without talking about, literally just end the drug war. And there's no, I would bet you 90% of no-knock warrants, which I think are horseshit, have been executed because of drug crimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like civil forfeiture. That's a massive issue. That's the drug war. It's all the drug war. Like, it's like all these problems you have with the police, none of you are mentioning the drug war. It's fucking crazy.
Everything from the militarization of the police to all of the SWAT raids. Because it really, when you break it down, you're like, okay, well, what is the problem with these raids? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm an anarchist libertarian. I find a problem with every inch of what government does. Mm-hmm. But if there's a SWAT raid because there's somebody who's like, you know, holding hostages, or because he's planning a murder, or there's some like heinous violent crime going on, we're probably not really going to lose our shit about that. There are probably certain situations where it is appropriate. But the vast majority of them are over fucking drugs. And this is insane.
The vast majority of violent crimes are because, like, gang violence, which is the vast majority of shootings, is all that all exists to protect drug money.
Yeah.
Like, or vice money, even if it's, whether it's prostitution or get whatever it is, you know, whatever, the mafia spent a lot of money and killed a lot of people over gambling debts. If we just legalize vice, we eliminate all of the things you're complaining about.
Yeah.
Like, it's these black, but they need the prison labor. You know what I mean? It's just, it's fucking disgusting. And it's like, okay, but you guys, that just proves that they're actually the fascists. The fact that they're not saying just give people freedom of choice, because I think when you talk to a lot of leftists, they will tell, they have that bigotry of low expectations. So you can't have legal heroin because that will make it worse, which is false, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is a very fucking insane thing.
Yeah, no, it is. It's really weird. And then I also, which I've, you know, talked a lot about on the show, but I really just think that Black Lives Matter just fucked up in every inch of how they've played everything. It seems to be like they insist on making it a vague racial issue rather than a tangible policy issue. So rather than be like, okay, we want these five reforms or these five policies, which probably you could get, you know, mass consensus on a bunch of really important policies.
If you educated people on civil forfeiture, I can't imagine that more than 95% of people wouldn't be against civil forfeiture.
You could, like, certainly get a majority on repealing the war on drugs. I mean, there's like, you could really get a lot of, but instead they seem intent on making it this vague, ill-defined racial issue. They love these vague terms like systemic racism and even white supremacy, which now can be applied to anything that they choose. Mm-hmm. And then this never gets anything done. It just pits people against each other. It inherently makes it a white versus black thing. And then it's like, it's this thing that the elites love. They love, even like the white ones, they love to like sit there and be like, yeah, as a white person, we don't know what it's like to deal with the police. And it's like, no, you anchor on CNN, you don't know what it's like to deal with the police. That's not true for all white people. And the numbers bear this out.
I've gotten a concussion, had my head slammed against the mailbox. Like, yes, I know what it's like to deal with the police. I lived under Bloomberg in fucking New York City, and I am in this fucking stupid goon body.
That part's not your fault, though.
Yeah.
That's partly your fault.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Lightstream. If you're like most people, you have a balance on your credit card and a higher rate of interest than you would like to have. Why not turn those balances into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate and start saving money? Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. The rate is fixed, so it'll never go up over the life of the loan. The application is 100% online. You don't have to leave your house to apply. You can get a loan from $5,000 up to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. You can even get your funds as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. My listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/POTP. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com /POTP. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Lower rates require excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/POTP for more information. All right, let's get back into the show. But anyway, so there's, yeah, and they've blown it. And then, of course, the fucking violence and the riots are really what fucking blew it. And this is, I think, handing Trump his best chance at winning the election.
Well, they took him from the CCP. Huh? So Black Lives Matter, there was just a thing. They were taking money from like an organization closely related to the Chinese Communist Party. It's like, yeah. If you don't think that sours people to your cause,
yeah,
you're insane.
Well, look, the truth is that most normal people, if they look at fucking, you know, fires burning in cities and stores being looted, true, and shit like that, whatever your cause is, they're like, fuck those people. And especially right now, there's this weird dynamic, which has really been true since Trump started running for president, where there's this weird dynamic where left wingers put tremendous social pressure on people who criticize the left. Mm-hmm. They're very effective at this. People, for the most part, people in their office, people at college campuses, people on the news, all over the place, they do not want to say the wrong thing. This is just because we really beat up, ostracize people and ruin people for saying the wrong thing. But voting is still a secret ballot. So you kind of like can't say anything out loud, mm-hmm, but then when you vote, you can vote for whoever you want to and no one can ever know. So it's like this mystery. Why does Trump do better than the polls suggest? It's like, oh, because you've decided that anyone who supports Trump is a Nazi. Mm-hmm. And then people get to go alone and go, yeah, you know what? All right, fuck this. I'm going to go with him. And so people are putting Black Lives Matter on their business, which is basically like a please don't loot sign, doing all this shit. But the truth is, a lot of people, when they see stuff like that, they're just like, I don't want to fucking live in an area where I have to be worried about this shit happening.
If only there was some sort of historical precedent that happened in, say, let's say 1969, that led to a massive expansion of very white suburbs. If only that existed in some country that was the United States, and it's like, people think that they're flipping the suburbs because Trump is such an asshole. I spent a lot of you're in the suburbs right now.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing on the ground in the suburbs? I've been in the suburbs most of the summer. I was like back and forth in the suburbs in this summer, having to visit family. Those people literally think New York City is on fire 100% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, look, they're seeing images, and it's not just in New York City, but they're seeing images of cities all across the country. And there is some truth to the fact that they're somewhat skewed in their perception because you're looking at the worst images. Mm-hmm. And that's different than being in New York City and kind of getting a sense of everything that's going on. And that allows you to put it in perspective a little bit more. You know what I mean? Where you're like, okay, yeah, like there was looting like on these three nights, but that kind of calmed down and now it's kind of fine. And it's this, they just see the image of the looting. And so that, but there's no question that they're looking at all that and going, oh, this is insane. This is insane.
Yeah, we can't vote for the side that's endorsing whatever this is, because that's the reason why they are there.
Yeah.
Like that's the reason why they're in the suburbs, because that happened in the 70s.
Right. Well, like, for sure. For a lot of them. I mean, there's other factors too. Like they want to own a house and they want to have a yard and shit like that. But there's no, look, like the truth is that there are people who overplay it. Right. And so, of course, I saw a lot of like New Yorkers talking about when Trump and his Justice Department declared New York like an anarchist territory or something like that, which
I'm sure upset you.
Yeah, it's like, no, this is not at all what an anarchist society. There'd be a lot more
guns.
You
literally get a ticket if you work in a kitchen and your cutting board has too many cuts in it.
Yeah. So let's calm down with that. Oh, please try opening a restaurant and just allowing people to sit wherever they want to in this anarchist society. Right. So yeah. Okay. There's still a lot of rules. But you do understand where the truth is that, you know, you go into, if you go into New York City, and it's a little bit better now than it was, but if you go in, like if you went in like right after the height of like the protests and stuff, and you'd walk down the street in like the fucking East Village or in Tribeca or something like that, as just stores boarded up And yeah. It's like, there's something about that that's like, this is really fucking creepy. I mean, being as a lifelong New Yorker, walking through Tribeca, where all of the stores are boarded up, and then a whole bunch of the places have just been smashed and looted, and there's the streets are desolate, and the people there have masks on, and it's like, you're like, what the fuck happened to this place? Like, if you just fucking teleported us from January to fucking, you know, last month in New York City, we would be like, what, did a nuclear bomb go off? Like, what the hell happened here?
So, but I'll give you that. So, but here's the thing. When a lot of the rioting was going on, I was upstate and I had to come back the next day to do some work, and I'm looking at my phone and I'm looking at these rioting, and I drove back by myself. I look at my girlfriend's brother-in-law and I'm like, hey, you got a bat I can throw in the car just in case something happens? And he's like, yeah, no problem. And then I get over the George Washington Bridge. I get on the West Side Highway and I just see gay white people in like poom poom shorts jogging. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, that was overblown. I was just
I really thought you were going to Ginzo out on me. Here you go. So I get the bat and I'm like, hey, you homos.
I brain those fucking fruits.
I brain those fruits. That's a great fucking thing to say. All right. This is all satire. I don't want to get kicked off. You're right. I mean, it's like, and there's still New York. Look, for people like me and you who grew up in New York in like the 80s and 90s, New York is, by our standards, exceptionally soft right now. The reality. And so all those soft people still leave their homes and go out and go back to work. And it's not, you know, it's not, but it is like, I mean, there were stores, there were tons of businesses that were destroyed. The fucking crime rate is up. I mean, substantially from like last year to this year.
It's in weird little pockets though.
Of course, as it always is. But that's always the case.
We talked about this after Legion of Skanks one night, right? Weren't we talking about it? It was like, it was very hot this summer. I would like to see. I don't think the actual comparison is against last year. It's got to be against the last hot summer. That's a fair point.
But it is, you know, but there weren't millions of businesses, you know, destroyed in those summers.
That's true.
So there's a lot, you know, it's depressing. There's a lot about it that's really sad. The city is hurting in a way that it really hasn't since I was like a young child. The city hasn't been through anything like what it's been through this year. I do also think that, the truth is like what you said about the high crime being in certain pockets, but like, that's always the case. I mean, I remember I was having this conversation. This is probably like, it might've been like 5 or 6 years ago or something, but it was like right when it was when Chicago was really hot. I mean, I guess it's hot again, but when it was really, the violence was really going nuts, and I was doing shows in Chicago and just like hanging out and having fun. And it was like this kind of remarkable thing where you're like, yeah, even like when you go to the city that's known as the, you know, murder
Chiraq?
Capital of the world,
that was Chiraq. When they were calling it Chiraq.
Yeah. And they're calling it Chiraq and you're like, yeah, but it's over there. I mean, it's like, it's just not happening here. Like, I'm in a nice hotel. I'm in a nice comedy club.
I live 3 miles from Brownsville. You know what I mean? Like, so that's where that's all happening. But if you go outside of my neighborhood, and my neighborhood is a diverse neighborhood, and you go outside and you go, this is fine. Yeah. Nothing has changed. But then you're just like, oh yeah. But like, all those guys are kind of seeing this as an excuse to just air out house parties.
Right. Like, but that's like the fucking other thing that is hard to not, you know, and I know I sound like a boomer con when you say stuff like that, but it is kind of like, now, what about those black lives, you know? And like, it does seem like it's all these like predominantly black neighborhoods where the violence is going up. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be very little concern for that. And it's weird that you have a movement called Black Lives Matter while violent crimes against blacks are fucking going up pretty substantially, and it doesn't even get addressed.
Dude, that's the major, dude, the one thing I respected Bill de Blasio for, he backed out of this summer. So last summer, there was a big shooting in Brownsville at like a social club, right? 14 people got shot. And Bill de Blasio got on television, and I literally looked at this and I go, you know what? I don't think this guy's a good mayor, but I respect what he's doing. And he said, I'm going to call this a mass shooting because this fits the FBI's definition of a mass shooting. And we need to start calling shootings like this in these neighborhoods, mass shootings, not just in Parkland, not just in these places. And we need to start addressing this violence. And he fucking backed down this summer. That was the one thing he did as mayor that I was like, all right, I respect this guy. I get why people get behind him. And he fucking completely abandon it when fucking shootings went up this summer. And like, you're right. You should address, we need, and again, drug war. Those guns are here to protect those drugs. They're illegal guns that are here to protect drug interests. Now, those same guys with those guns are irresponsible criminals. So they end up just shooting people over dumb shit on top of whatever they're doing, like they over slights. But like those guns are here to protect drug interests. If those drugs were sold in a store.
And it's not just that, it's that they got the money to buy those guns with drugs that they sold, you know, which is only a profitable business because it's a black market. I mean, it's like the whole, listen, if you, in terms of a policy that could actually make the difference. And of course it goes much deeper than that. I mean, there's like real cultural problems, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're not gonna, if you want a policy that you could actually change that would address this, it's end the war on drugs. It's basically, you know, what, you know, guys like me and you have been saying for a very, very long time. But you would think maybe now there would be some move, but of course, no, it's more like, you know, like what's coming out of this is like, you know, what they call racial sensitivity training. It was a critical race theory bullshit. But so, yeah, no, you're right about that. I mean, de Blasio is just, you know, he's really just become a really hated figure, not just in New York, but around the country. And I really think deservedly so. I mean, I just, everything about the guy is so horrible. He is so intensely unlikable. His policies are horrific and they just have terrible, disastrous consequences. He's incredibly hostile toward normal people. I mean,
he literally said, do you remember when he said, if you can afford a car in New York, you've got money?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have a chauffeur, jerk off. You're rich. You own a $2 million brownstone.
Yeah. Like, dude, I'm almost starting to think like there should be some type of like, there should be more. I mean, obviously short of the you know, policies I'd like to see, you know, mm-hmm. like just fucking shrink the government by 90%. I mean, that only make me 90% happy, but let's start with that.
Sure.
But short of that, it's like, that, this is the thing about like what they used to call limousine liberals, which they now kind of call like, you know, I don't know, progressives or leftists. Now. Yeah, right. Exactly. But like, there's something where it's like, you got to like, for all these fucking positions, you should make whatever the mean income of your area is. Your kids should have to go to the same fucking public schools. You should have to ride the same fucking public transportation. Like, you just shouldn't be allowed to be a butt, because that is exactly what it is. He'll ride around with his chauffeur and lecture other people about how they're being wealthy. This motherfucker, like, dude, he fucking...
He got the gym open for him.
Yeah, he got the gym open for him. Meanwhile, he's filling up hotels with homeless people in the Upper West Side. Where it's like, look, man, I'm not saying there's a lot of wealthy people in the Upper West Side. I mean, I lived in the Upper West Side for years. It's like, there's normal people there, man, who are like raising their families. They don't want a fucking homeless shelter up the block.
And Rick Moranis was randomly attacked in the Upper West Side today. I don't know if you noticed that.
Who was?
Rick Moranis from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, really?
He was randomly just punched in the face by a homeless guy in the Upper West Side today.
Jesus. But it's like shit like that. Like, it doesn't make you like racist or right wing or some horrible person to not want a homeless shelter up the block from where your two kids live. Like, it's just like, it's just normal. And it's like this war on normal people. And then the other thing that I'll just never forgive Bill de Blasio for is, okay, honestly, I mean, I know I focus on a lot of policies that are really horrific. And not that this is the most horrific policy, but it just makes my blood boil, both as a New Yorker and someone who just believes in freedom. The text line to rat on your fellow New Yorkers that he set up during the COVID thing, it literally, I mean, that's the type of shit that makes me just intensely hate a person. Like, what type of bitch fucking bullshit is that? Like,
I found out somebody was like, there was somebody tried to take a picture at where you guys were doing a show, and I spazzed. I was like, hey, what are you fucking doing? When we were across the street that night, and the guy like got scared. He was taking pictures to get people in trouble. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Go home. Like, this isn't expanding the pandemic.
Well, I got to say, it's something that I really hate in general about today's culture. What's his fucking name? God damn it. I'm blanking on his name. Shit. Well, that sucks. He's a fucking professor over at, I think at NYU. The psychologist guy, it's a real smart guy, but he was talking about this as like a generational change that basically, and we're almost like in the cutoff of like the older generation. Like, it feels to me like, I think me and you grew up almost as like the last generation of where, like, I don't know, like if you got punched in the face, there wasn't going to be an adult
on the police.
There wasn't going to be an adult there who, like the response would have been like, well, did you hit him back? That would have been kind of like what the, you know what I mean? Where it wasn't like, and now it's kind of like all supervised play and you always go and, you know, like tell an adult if something, you know, if someone insulted you, and these anti-bullying campaigns, participation trophy, helicopter parenting, like all this shit. And you see it now. Like these kids are adults. This was shit that people were talking about in like the fucking 90s and the 2000s and it took over and now they're adults. And now whether even on Twitter, it's like these mass campaigns, even fucking like Antifa was going off on this campaign to get Lewis and me and Jay like deplatformed.
Was this, like, this was like this, today, right? I saw Lewis.
Yeah, it was like yesterday. It's like, this is, you guys are these badass fucking kids who throw on ski masks and this is your thing, like tell the teacher basically. It's like, this just sucks. Like you guys are so fucking lame. The idea that you want to go tell some authority figure to go get someone and that stuff just being so dominant. And it does kind of tie into the overall like liberty theme that this show is built around. That it's just like that. This is what fucking authoritarians always do. They fucking get people to turn everybody in and be a little fucking snitch. And there's like, no, like it used to, it was such a, this was, I'm not even talking about like the mob fucking, you know, don't be a fucking snitch or like some gang, like snitches get stitches shit. I'm saying it was as unoffensive, just known mundane statement that everyone in my childhood would make was nobody likes a tattletale. That was something that like nobody debated that or disputed that. That was just an obvious thing. It's like, yeah, don't be a little bitch is basically what they used to teach kids. That's completely gone.
In the same
gone.
Sentence that like if you tattled on somebody, the person you tattled on would get in trouble for doing the thing they weren't supposed to do. And then I remember teachers doing this, being like, just so you know, in life, you should not do that. Because no one will, and it's true. Like, think about any job site. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in real life, if you work anywhere and you're a tattletale, I guess in like there's these corporate situations where you have the protection of human resources. But if you're an iron worker, like, you probably shouldn't tattletale on the guy having a couple beers at lunch because it's going to make your life miserable.
Yeah, it has to be something like really, really bad before it's justified. To go fucking, you
it
know
has
what
to be
I mean?
Putting like, people in physical danger.
Yeah.
For you to be like a couple, like if the guy's hammered and fucking you shoot a blowtorch around, yeah, probably be like, hey, somebody should probably send Mike home, you know?
And by the way, even then, like at least this is where my ethics lie, even then, you should be a little bit ashamed when you go tattle on them. Like, even if you're like on some construction crew and you're like, listen, dude, first off, you should go to the person first, you know, and just be like, dude,
and
like,
then even when you tattle, you should be like, hey, I think Mike's having a bad day. Not Mike's loaded.
You know what I mean? And like, you should be like, even when you tattle, you should go, listen, like I hate to be that guy, but like, he's putting my guys in danger.
Yeah.
Like he's like, he needs to be sent home for the day. Like, I don't know. I don't want to say, I hate to be this guy. I hate to say anything, but like literally a steel beam's about to fall on my guy's head. So like I had to come say, you should have to say something. And then you should feel like a bitch. Even when you were right, you should still feel a little bit like, I got to go take a shower. Like that, I feel dirty that I had to tell on another man.
But that's part of being an adult is feeling ashamed for feeling some level of shame for kind of doing the right thing.
Yeah,
it's part that's of being exactly a right. You should never feel justified.
And I'll tell you, this is what there's something interesting about this because the shame is really an important tool. And even the leftists who are so against like, you know, slut shaming or whatever, like other type of shaming, they love shame.
Yeah,
they love using shame. And one of the reasons they fucking hate Donald Trump, I really believe this. One of the reasons the left hates him so intensely is that he is unshameable. And there are some things he should feel shame for, but I don't think it's most of the things they think. And he has none of it.
I don't know. Saying, no, I'm not talking about your dead son. I'm talking about your cokehead son is pretty big. I think you should probably feel a little ashamed about that.
There are some things, but you know what? Here's the other thing. Yeah, you're probably right. That was fucked up, but it was, I'll tell you, it's again, Trump, that was brilliant politics, man. And I know people don't like to acknowledge this shit, but that he's got an instinct for this thing. Listen, that was right. They had The fucking Biden campaign had this whole scripted moment that they were about to deliver. And they were like, look, we got him on this story that he said the fallen soldiers were losers. You're the father of a fallen soldier. You're going to get up there and say, my son wasn't a loser. You'll be angry. You'll fucking confront him. And Trump in 1 second goes, I don't know about Bo. I know Hunter. And they just flipped it around. And that moment was completely lost. And then it becomes all about Joe. And then Joe Biden has to go, look, my son is a crackhead, but like he's not a crackhead anymore, and blah blah blah. And listen,
ambitious crackhead, by the way. Just like you get thrown out of school, just start smoking crack, and then start fucking extorting world leaders. Like that is a lot better than stealing copper wire out of a fucking construction site.
Is on a scale of, you know, like on a curve of how ex crackheads bounce back, it's a 10 out of 10. I mean, no question about that. So yeah, you know what? Maybe Hunter deserves a little bit of respect. Dude. Yeah, he may have. Oh, we don't know. We don't know the details. We don't know the details that well, but he, you know, anyway, it is true. When you look at it, I never really thought about it like that, but that's a fair point. He got it. He got his act together. So really it's the story of somebody getting their life together, but it helps if your dad's the vice president in charge of Ukrainian affairs.
That
helps a lot. That does make most. Also, the average crackhead doesn't have that going for him. But anyway, all right, listen, dude, we're out of time. But Notes of a Goon is Chris's new podcast. Make sure you go check that out. Always love having you on, brother. We'll do it again real soon. And also, of course, check out High Society Radio right here on Gas Digital Network. Anything else you want to plug?
No, I'll probably be screaming in the park doing stand up at some point this weekend. But
what's your social media?
At Chris from BKLYN on Twitter.
All right. Sounds good. All right, brother. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back soon. Peace. All right.